On this edition of our series, Songs from Hollywood and Broadway, we're featuring interviews with family members of great songwriters. We're listening to the overture from the Hal Prince revival of Showboat, one of the classic musicals with lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein. He collaborated with composer Richard Rodgers on Oklahoma, Carousel, The King and I, and The Sound of Music. In 1995, I talked about Hammerstein with his son Jamie, who had just co-directed a revival of the Rodgers and Hammerstein show State Fair. Jamie died of a heart attack 4 years later. He was 67. He had directed many revivals of his father's musicals and handled the Hammerstein estate. When we spoke, I asked him a very hypothetical question. Say I was mounting a revival of Oklahoma, what would I need to get from Jamie Hammerstein and the estate before starting my production?
Total permission, and we would put artistic strings on things so that final decision as to who your director would be, who the major stars would be, if there are any, and hopefully there wouldn't for Oklahoma, because they're about young people there. If you get stars, it's usually wrong. And we would have a casting approval, director approval, lighting designer approval, and we would use them.
Now, would I resent you for exercising this control over my production?
Well, it would tend. Yeah, that could be. A lot of people resent, and they say we didn't allow the show to come in. And really, the truth was we never gave their permission. They just hoped we would give it to them later. And very often we don't sit over somebody's shoulder. It depends on who it is. Mm-hmm. Nick Heitner is a director that I've admired for a long time.
And he did Carousel last
year. Yes, and when he came with Carousel, I said, whoop, we don't have to watch over this guy. This guy's going to do what he wants, and we're going to let him do it, and we're going to back him to the hilt. Because that's the best way to protect ourselves, is to back him to the hilt. It varies. We're in the theater. Mary Rodgers and myself have been in the theater since we were children. It isn't as if we're not aware of what artistic freedom means and how necessary that is for the people doing it.
Mary Rodgers is Richard Rodgers' daughter?
Yes.
Your family really has quite a theater legacy. I mean, your father, of course, was Oscar Hammerstein, the lyricist. Your grandfather was in vaudeville?
Yeah, he was a vaudeville producer. My great-uncle was an operetta producer, and my great-grandfather was Oscar I, who was an opera impresario, among other things, a real estate developer and vaudeville himself and an inventor.
So theater was the family business when you were growing up?
Yes, but you'd never know it. It was not what people imagine with Judy Garland running in with a tennis racket. I mean, it just wasn't. It seemed like, well, you know, it's the only life I had as a kid, so it seemed perfectly normal to me. And my father wrote in his study and for many hours every day, and he'd come out having, I'm sure, sweated bullets all day. And he would come out and go, who's winning the baseball game? Or do you want a game of tennis? Or, you know, and you'd never guess he'd been working for 8 hours trying to find a rhyme for Surrey, you know?
Well, did he walk around the house going, Surrey, scurry, Surrey, scurry?
No, he locked himself in, or he walked in down the we had a long yard where he would also pace. And we also, for one of his mother, built him a walk-around porch from his study so that nice weather, or even reasonable weather, he could take a walk by opening his study door. He always worked walking, and he was inaudible. I know he worked terribly hard, and I know he was a perfectionist. There's no doubt in my mind about those things, but he also could turn it off like a light and come out as one of the more normal people you've ever met.
Hmm. I guess that's unusual in theater.
It's unusual with a writer,
being
I think.
Normal.
It's unreasonable. I mean, I think it's unreasonable. Yeah, I think it's almost supernatural myself.
The late Jamie Hammerstein recorded in 1995. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this edition, as part of our holiday series, Songs from Hollywood and Broadway, we're featuring interviews with family members of great songwriters. Let's get back to our interview with the late Jamie Hammerstein, the son of lyricist Oscar Hammerstein. Our interview was recorded in 1995, 4 years before Jamie died of a heart attack at the age of 67. He had directed revivals of several of his father's shows and handled the estate.
How old were you when your father became
partners with Richard Rodgers?
I was about 11.
So what do you know about the story of how he started to work with Richard Rodgers?
Well, Dick was approached by the Theater Guild to make a musical out of Green Grow the Lilacs. And he went to Larry Hart. And Larry Hart said, I'm not interested. And Dick still thought he could persuade Larry. He went to Dad just in case. And said, if Larry quits on me in the middle of this, will you save me? And my father said, if Larry doesn't want to do it or quits, I will not only do it, but I'll let Larry's name stay on it, if you like. I'll just sit in the back and do the work. And then Larry actually insisted that he didn't want to do it. And so Dick went back to Dad and said, no, this is yours. And that's how it happened.
It's always been so interesting to me and probably everybody else who who listens to musicals, how different your father's lyrics were than Larry Hart's lyrics.
Yeah, but I think the really interesting part about it is how different Dick's music was.
Yeah, right. What do you perceive of how his music changed when your father became a lyricist?
They're totally different people. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Larry Hart and my father were night and day in the way they looked at life. My father was an optimist. My father believed optimism was the only useful thing to be. The pessimism was just a waste of time, basically. And my father was very not into writing songs. My father was into developing, was a dramatist who was also a lyricist. And Dick is a dramatist who's also a composer. And I think Dad gave Dick the chance to be a musical dramatist. I think Larry wrote songs, and my father wrote characters and plot and everything else in his songs. And I think that changed Dick. Dick's pretty smart cookie. You know, I don't think it was surprised him. I think he knew what he was in for right off the bat.
What did your father think of Larry Hart's lyrics?
Oh, he loved most of them. I mean, I think Larry Hart... See, my father never had a great facility for strange and wonderful rhymes. Larry Hart did. So it's like, there's no competition involved. My father could never write like Larry Hart. I don't think Larry Hart could ever write like my father, no matter how hard either one of them tried. They couldn't do it. And my father, not being a fancy rhymer, just wrote very honestly and very easy to sing lyrics, but they were... I think he spent his time saying exactly what he wanted to say dramatically in what I think is the most difficult dramatic form you can write in, which is lyrics. You have to make things come out metrically. You've got to have rhymes, the right kind of rhymes, not too many of them if it's a serious song. If it's a light song, maybe triple rhymes, inside rhymes. It is something which takes years to master, and... I think my father mastered it, and he just trying to say what you want to say in that form is deadly difficult. You can get so seduced by a very clever rhyme. You can get so seduced by an easy rhyme, and it just takes a little bit of the edge of what you're really trying to say, and it goes on some tangent, which isn't too far off. So let's take that tangent and get it over with and go have a drink. And my father would never do it. He'd keep on. He'd just throw out more and more lyrics till he was saying what he wanted to say, and somehow it rhymed and was singable.
The songs that your father wrote are still sung on and off stage. Do you have a sense that he ever suspected the songs would endure and that the musicals would endure in the way that they have?
No, I have a sense that he wouldn't have expected it to go that long. He had a pretty good-sized ego in a gentle sort of way. I mean, he's a very nice ego. I mean, you have to have an ego to have 11 years of flops and keep on writing. That's a useful kind of ego. But I don't think he would have dreamt of it. But I think there is an explanation. I do not think it's, like, so surprising. Why is it that we don't say, my God, they're reviving La Boheme at the Met? What's the big deal? What's the difference? The fact is that what happened during those years with, and, you know, when I grew up, I thought this is normal, you know, Frank Lesser, Cole Porter, my father. I thought there would always be people like that. And that was the golden age, and they created an art form. They didn't mean to. They wanted to make people happy and make some money. Probably that's what Puccini wanted to do. But they created an art form, and it's going to be revived until people get sick of it.
Well, Jamie Hammerstein, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much. It'd be very pleasant. Thank you.
The late Jamie Hammerstein, recorded in 1995. Coming up, Jim McHugh III talks about the songs composed by his grandfather, Jimmy McHugh. This is Fresh Air.